I'd like for you to just pray with me as we open our hearts to His Word. Father, we just thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence here. Thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit that's here. Lord, I pray that not for one person would it be just church as usual, but Lord, I pray that each and every person would receive from the Lord tonight. I pray, Father, that You help me to speak Your word right, to rightly divide the word of truth. And I pray, Father, that we'll have a hearing ear that we might truly obey You and bring glory and honor to Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in a series called the Beatitudes. Jesus tells us that the people that are like this are blessed. I want to be one of those people. Tonight we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. That's a great blessing to be called His son, His daughter, His child. You know, a lot of the time you can tell whose child someone is just by the way they look and their personality, their facial expressions, their mannerisms, or sometimes their behavior, the way they act. Shouldn't people be able to tell that we are a child of God by our behavior? We're partakers of His divine nature. You know, it's kind of a politically correct thing. Hear people say this who maybe don't even believe in God, and at best they're very nominal Christians, you know, it's in name only. They'll say things like, well, you know, we're all children of God. No, we're not. Only those who are born of God are children of God. And the reason that's important for us to hear tonight is because, you see, it's kind of that, you know, thing, everybody gets a trophy, we're all children of God. No, we're not all children of God. It is something special to be called a son, a daughter of God. It is not just a generic thing. It's something special. It is a blessing to be considered to be His son, His daughter. And here's what we really need to see about this is that He said they will be called the sons of God. You see, they will be identified as My offspring. Not just as part of the human race. You know, if you're part of the human race, you're a child of God. I don't know where they get that, but they don't get it from the Bible. But to be a peacemaker identifies you as His offspring, a son, a daughter of God. That's a blessing. This is the one characteristic that Jesus said would cause us to be identified as a son or daughter of God. You know, most of us here tonight, we would certainly say that we are children of God. Would you say that you are a peacemaker? So, for some of us, we're going to act like God and call those things that be not as though they were. And we're going to say, I'm a peacemaker. Ready? Let's do it. I'm a peacemaker. Now, some of you, you're saying, yeah, I'm a peacemaker, but I don't know about you. No, we need to get this, though. This is who we're supposed to be as a child of God. We're supposed to be peacemakers. One guy said, yeah, I'm a peacemaker. You start it and I'll finish it. That's not the kind of peace that we're talking about. That's the wrong spirit. Our Father, He is the ultimate peacemaker. Think about this. He paid the price to make peace with us. He paid the price for our wrongs to make peace with us, to reconcile us to Himself. Romans 5:1 says, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us that He made peace between the Jew and the Gentile, making them both one. And I just want to tell you, we might think that there's a lot of different people groups in the world today that are at odds with one another and could never have peace, but the one who made peace between the Jew and the Gentile, He can make peace with anybody. I'm just telling you, when Jesus becomes Lord, He can make peace with any group of people. But we learn from our Father that a peacemaker is someone that makes peace with others at their own expense. And He also makes peace between others. Some people might have the idea that being a peacemaker is for the weak, those who can't fight. But in reality, you got to be strong to be a peacemaker. Not physically strong, but you got to be strong on the inside to be a peacemaker. It's easier to just fight and argue. I want to tell you, any old dog can do that. In fact, you know, when I worked at a veterinarian hospital when I was a teenager, and the worst dog to get out of a kennel was usually a little bitty dog that was afraid. And you know what, it's like that sometimes with people. When they're afraid, they tend to fight. But I just got to tell you, anybody can argue and rant and rave and raise their voice, but it takes real strength to be a true peacemaker. Need to remember that the most powerful person in the universe, He's a peacemaker. He is the God of peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. The first time Jesus came, the angels declared His birth with peace on earth. Now, you know that peace was short-lived because it wasn't long until Herod was having every baby born put to death to try to kill the Son of God. And I'm going to tell you the truth. As long as we are in this world, until Jesus comes back, there's going to be conflict and trouble in this world. You can count on it. But we can have peace because of the Prince of Peace. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is peace because where He rules, there's no sin, there's no confusion, there's no conflict. And I'm telling you, as a peacemaker, we need to take the reign and rule of God. We need to take the peace of God with us everywhere we go. But in this world, you're going to encounter all kinds of conflict. We're even going to encounter conflict sometimes simply because we believe in Jesus. And you're going to have conflict. You know, there'll be people who say, hey, it's okay for you to believe in Jesus. But when you start into this stuff where Jesus is running your life, you've gone too far. I'm just telling you, sometimes because of Jesus, you're going to have conflict. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 10:34, "Don't think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, Jesus gives us peace, but He gives us peace on the inside. And you just need to know this, that sometimes conflict is inevitable. Sometimes, even because of the name of Jesus, there's going to be conflict. But Satan always tries to destroy peace through confusion, through rebellion, through dissension, through discord. He's always trying. Listen, peace is from God. He's the God of peace. So Satan is always working to disrupt the peace, to bring confusion and trouble. And you need to know this. We really are in a war. We really are. I'm glad it has a determined end. One of my favorite verses is Romans 16:20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet soon. Love that verse. It's coming. He's going to make his enemies his footstool, and we're going to have peace. Now, how can we be a peacemaker? First, to be a peacemaker, we need to always remember that our fight is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is with the powers of darkness. Listen, if you forget that, you're not going to be a peacemaker. You're going to find yourself in the midst of the conflict. In fact, you'll end up being an instigator instead of a peacemaker. You need to remember, ultimately, your battle is not with flesh and blood. Most of the time, when people fight and argue, it's not really because of the cause of Christ. Most of the time, it boils down to selfish, carnal reasons. And I want you to read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read 1 through 3, because if we really take this passage of Scripture seriously, then I believe it would change the way that we talk, the way that we act, the way we treat one another, if we just hear what he's saying. He says, "Brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people." I want you to understand something. Being a peacemaker is being a spiritual person. Not being a peacemaker is being a carnal person. "I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. Where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" He's telling them that because of this strife and all this dissension, all this discord that's going on, he's saying, "You're not spiritual people." When he says, "You're acting like mere men," he's saying, "You're acting just like the world, people that are born again. You're not acting like your heavenly Father." And so we need to take this serious. When we find ourselves, what did he say, in strife and envy and divisions, we need to realize that we're being carnal, not spiritual. We're not being a peacemaker. I'm telling you, if we're going to be peacemakers, we got to remember that these relationships, that's not where our real fight is. That may be where it manifests. That may be where we see the battle. But I'm telling you, that's not your true enemy. You know, even the lost person, listen to me. Do you realize Jesus was never adversarial with the lost? He didn't treat them as his enemy. Somebody say, "Yeah, amen," or "We're aware of that," because I don't want to have to read the whole Bible to you tonight or all the Gospels. Just listen, Jesus was not adversarial with the lost. He didn't condone what they did. He didn't go, listen, he was holy, without sin. But he didn't put himself in a place of fighting back and forth with the lost. And here's the crazy thing, is how many Christians don't just do it with the lost, they do it with their brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, sometimes they do it worse with other Christians. And Jesus did not put himself in a back and forth argument even with the Pharisees. He spoke to them boldly. He even called them hypocrites. But it was, listen, he loved the Pharisees. You need to know this. He loved the Pharisees. He knew that in their condition, the only way he was going to reach any of them was some shock therapy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he had to break through their pride and their arrogance. But you need to understand this. Jesus didn't go around being adversarial with people. Why do so many Christians think that's what we're supposed to do in the name of Christ when Christ didn't do that? Peacemakers. I'm a peacemaker. Say it again. I'm a peacemaker. Even in church, people will fight and argue, call each other names. I'm so thankful to pastor a church where we have peace. One pastor went home and he heard yelling coming from the bedroom where his five-year-old was, and he went in there, and there was his five-year-old with some of her friends. And he said, "What's going on in here?" And his little five-year-old daughter said, "Daddy, we're playing church." Now, listen. Some church business meetings, they're worse than a secular business meeting. That's the straight-up truth. Shouldn't be that way. I knew a preacher one time, had dinner with him one night, and he told me, he was bragging to me. He said, I can't even remember what the situation was, but some of his church members had made him mad. And he bragged to me. He said, "I told them to meet me out in the parking lot after the service." I'm just telling you, it grieves the heart of God when his children don't get along. Always hated it when my kids would fight and wouldn't get along. And I'm telling you, our Heavenly Father does too. It grieves him. They're not your enemy. Proverbs 6 and 19 tells, well, there's seven things that Proverbs 6 tells us that are an abomination unto him. An abomination, what's that? That's a really big word for something that's really, really bad. Says there's six things he hates. There's seven that are an abomination to him. And in verse 19, it tells us the last one, and here it is. He that sows discord among the brethren. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the peacemaker. How does someone sow discord? They're always magnifying differences. Always talking about controversial issues. They always have something negative to say. Really pretty easy to identify when they're around. Do they build up or do they tear down? Do they throw water on a conflict or gasoline? Psalm 34 and 14 says, "Seek peace and pursue it." Now I want to tell you, being a peacemaker is not something that just happens automatic. If you're going to have peace and if you're going to make peace, you're going to have to put some effort into it. You're going to have to pursue after it. In Romans 12:18, it says, if it is possible, there's sometimes you can't make peace with everybody. But if it's possible, as much as depends on you, on your end, live peaceably with all men. All men. If we're going to be a peacemaker, we need the wisdom of God. Because I'm telling you, there's so many difficult situations in life. I mean, most of you, you've lived long enough to know this. There's just things that happen, things, conflicts between people, situations, that it does looks like there's no way to work it out. But what if we had the wisdom of God? I love this old story about an Indian sheep farmer. His neighbor's dogs were killing his sheep. Now, he could have put up bigger, stronger fences. He could have taken the guy to court. He could have just gone next door and yelled at the guy and chewed him out. A lot of things he could have done. But instead, what he decided to do is he took some young lambs and he gave them to his neighbor's kids. All of a sudden, the man decided to keep his dogs up, keep them penned up. Problem solved. I'm telling you, there's a lot of situations in our lives. If we would just pray and ask God for wisdom, that God could give us insight. So often, we're just quick to respond in the flesh, to do it our way, you know, to get mad, and we want to defend our right instead of seeking God for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. He promises us wisdom in James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. What a great promise. Pray for wisdom so that you can make peace. Here's another great story. One elderly gentleman lived in a quiet neighborhood. He liked to sit out on the porch and listen to the birds sing in the trees. And one summer when the kids were out of school, these boys started coming by. Every day they would walk down the alley with a stick and they would beat on the trash cans as they went down the alley. Well, you talk about disturbing the peace. I mean, this old guy, it was awful. What a racket. And so he got an idea, though. He went out and he found those boys going down the alley and he said, "Hey, boys, I want to talk to you for just a minute. You know, the way y'all beat on those trash cans, it reminds me of when I was a boy. And I used to do things like that." He said, "I tell you what, if y'all come by and beat on the trash cans every day, I'm going to give y'all a dollar every day that y'all beat on the trash cans." They said, "All right." A couple of days went by, and the old man met them out there again, and he paid them their dollar for that day. But he said, "Now, boys, it's just too much money. I'm not going to be able to give you a dollar a day. I'm going to have to cut it back to 50 cents. They said, "Well, okay." Another couple of days went by, and he cut it down to a quarter. And two more days went by, and he met them out there. He said, "Boys, I just can't pay you anymore to come by and beat these trash cans." They said, "Look, mister, we're not going to come by and beat on the trash cans for nothing." There's a way. I know that in some situations and problems in life, you think, no, there's not a way. There might not be a way with human wisdom, but with God's wisdom, you might be surprised. God is the ultimate peacemaker. And Satan had no idea how God was going to make peace with man. And I'm telling you, God can give you an idea. Third, to be a peacemaker, we need to be humble. And this kind of gets to the root of the problem, because pride is such a root sin that causes so many problems in our lives. But pride will always keep you from being a peacemaker. Proverbs 28 and 25 says, "He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered." If you got a proud heart, you're always going to be stirring up strife, the opposite of being a peacemaker. But pride has this attitude: it's my way or the highway. Pride will cause you to demand your way. It'll cause you to think you're right even when you're wrong. You ever known somebody like that? You ever been somebody like that? Oh my. Let's say yeah. Because I'm about to show you, okay? Have you ever been wrong? Please say yeah. That means that you thought you were right, and then you found out you were wrong. Now, here's the big deal. Could it happen again? Do you know that every time there's a conflict between two people or two groups of people, did you know both sides think they're right? Isn't that amazing? You listen to them, and they're just adamant. They're so sure they're right. And they're so sure they're right. And let me tell you something. At least one of them is wrong. And some of the time, they're both wrong. So every time you think you're right and you're in an argument, guess what? You got a 50-50 chance. Now, I know some of you prideful people, you're thinking, oh, no. I was wrong once. But that's behind me now. No. We all make mistakes. You see, we get so full of ourselves. We get so prideful that we think we're the right ones. You know, I read my Bible. Spiritual pride is the worst kind. Pride will so disrupt peace in your life, keep you from ever being able to be a peacemaker. But when you're humble, it leaves room for God to work. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So to be a peacemaker, you got to be humble. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that are even looking for an argument, looking for a fight. Some of them have a chip on their shoulder. Some of them have been hurt or wronged in some way. They've been through hard times. They get bitter and resentful. And I'm telling you, there's some people that, you know, just as soon as you get around them, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be trouble. And they're looking for trouble. Don't be the one that they find it with. No. You be humble. You just make up your mind that you're not going to engage with people like that, but instead, you're going to be a peacemaker. We got to act like our Heavenly Father. You know, if you're at odds with people, you can't minister to them. You can't help them. You can't reach them. You can't hardly even invite them to church. You know, I realized this not too long ago, and you know, I kind of felt at odds with somebody, and I thought, you know, which is more important, that I defend my rights or that I ask them to church and leave room for God to work and move in their life? I'm just telling you that we got to get rid of the pride and be humble if we're going to make peace with people. I'm a peacemaker. Fourth, to be a peacemaker, we have to have faith. You know, we need to have faith that God is bigger than the conflict. We need to have faith that God is bigger than the person. We need to have faith that God is bigger than the wrongs that are done to us. The Lord says, vengeance is mine and I will repay. And I want to tell you something, that takes faith, to just trust God when you are wronged. But if we're going to be peacemakers, we have to have that kind of faith, that we really trust Him. See, fear is the antithesis to faith. And the truth is that a lot of the time, people aren't peacemakers because they're afraid. They're afraid that somebody else is going to get the best of them. Great story in Genesis chapter 13. I'm not going to read the story to you. I'll just tell it to you. But for those of you taking notes, it's Genesis 13, 5 through 9. It is when Abraham and Lot had all of their herds and all of their men together, and they both had prospered so much, their men and their herds had grown so big that they were at strife with one another. They were at odds with one another. And so Abraham and Lot decided that it was time, you know, for them to go their separate ways. And Abraham says to Lot, he says, you look at all the land and you choose what you want. And Lot chooses, and the Bible says that the place that Lot chose was like the garden of God. It was beautiful. How could Abraham just say, you can have the best? How could he do that? Who would do that? We're so afraid of being taken advantage of. We're so afraid of somebody getting a better deal than we are, of them getting the best of us. We're so afraid that they're going to wrong us in some way. Let me tell you something. Abraham was a man of faith. He knew that the blessing of God was on his life, and his nephew Lot was not going to steal the blessing by taking this land. Do you know the blessing of God is on your life? Do you know that God has a plan and purpose for you, and that some person, some little bitty person, I'm talking about an almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, who knows everything and can do anything. Do you think they're going to stop the plan of God in your life? What are you afraid of? You need to have faith if you're going to be a peacemaker. Because when you have real faith, you don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to avenge yourself. No, you just leave that to God. You're trusting. You let God take care of it. You let God settle the books. Takes faith. Jesus never said, blessed are those that fight and defend their rights. I know that just rubs us wrong. I mean, it rubs a part of me wrong too. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Takes real faith, see, to obey God's word. When the Lord Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. He said, if somebody strikes you on the one cheek, you turn to him the other cheek also. How can you do that? Faith. You're obeying God. God's going to take care of you. See, that's, I don't know about you, but that ain't the way I was raised. But our Heavenly Father wants to raise us that way. And be a peacemaker if you have faith. Faith. If you got real faith, you trust God to take care of the situation. Isn't it amazing how that we bring God into any equation, it changes the outcome. Fifth, the best way to be a peacemaker is to keep the peace. Just don't ever let it get started. Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is like the releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. It's like a breaking dam. It starts with just a little bitty bit, and here it goes. So here's the key. You want to be a peacemaker? Just don't even let it start. Let me tell you how conflict almost always starts. Somebody says something. They might have been thinking it for a long time. I mean, there might have been something under, you know, some underlying current. But I'm telling you, this is when the conflict really comes out, is when somebody says something. That's when it starts. James 1:19, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So you stop contention before an argument even starts. Let me tell you, a lot of the time, God will give you insight and show you how to make peace if you listen. Do you know most people that get at odds with one another are really fighting and arguing? They don't even really listen to each other. And the Bible says be quick to listen. So you close your mouth and you listen. And you keep your mouth shut until you have something that you know you need to say. Listen to me. Be swift, be quick to listen, slow to speak. You know, when people get in an argument, they just start saying stuff. Be slow to speak. This is how you stop it before it ever even starts. First, you listen. Next, you be slow to speak, so that when you do speak, you're saying something that's going to make for peace and not escalate. You say, but they're already mad, and they said this to me. So what are you going to do? You're going to take it up to the next notch? You're going to say something ugly back? You're going to let them have it? Or are you going to use that principle of the soft answer that turns away wrath? Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Use the soft answer. Turn away wrath. By the way, the very next verse in James 1 is 1:20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You see, once it starts and you start getting mad, I'm telling you, you can't be a peacemaker if you're allowing anger to control you. And I just want to say one more thing about this. There's this attitude in the body of Christ today, in the church in America today, that we're mad and we're angry at the world. We're angry about all this stuff that's going on. And I'm just telling you, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. It will not get it done. Sixth, to be a peacemaker, you avoid arguments. You know, some people just like a good argument. But let me tell you, it's the sinful nature that likes a good argument. You say, but they're saying something wrong, and I can't let them just get away with saying something wrong. Nowhere does the Bible charge you with the job of correcting everybody else. Some of you need to retire from that position. It's lonely at the top because you ain't going to have no friends. That's right. That's true. And let me tell you something else. You're not going to change their mind. Now, if there's some of you that have had great success with arguing with people and you always win, you always get them to say, you know what? You're right. I would like for you to come talk to me after the service because I've had a lot of experience in this department and it's never worked for me. Avoid arguments. You got a scripture for that? You know I do. People, before I share that with you, you know, people argue on Facebook like idiots. And I believe I have permission to say it that way. Like idiots. Arguing about stuff. Putting all this stuff out there for all the world, going back and forth, back and forth. What are they doing? They're not making peace. They're making strife, stirring up conflict. 2 Timothy 2:23 through 26, but avoid foolish arguments and ignorant disputes. Avoid arguments, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to him to do his will. You see, you don't quarrel. You don't get yourself in that back and forth arguing like that. No, he says that the servant of the Lord, you see, when he has the opportunity, then he brings correction. Then he teaches. Then he shows them how they're wrong. But you can't ever accomplish it by an argument. You can't ever accomplish it just by quarreling with people. So you avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Number 7, this is the last one. We got 4 whole minutes. We're going to make it. Be a peacemaker, you finish on time. No, that's not it. To be a peacemaker, we have to pray. Listen, God can make the difference. So you pray about the conflict and you pray for the people involved and you pray for wisdom. It takes the wisdom of God to know how to make peace when there's so many complicated situations in life. But listen, there's one more reason that we have to pray. Because you can't be a peacemaker if you don't have peace? You see, if you're in a situation and you're all stirred up and you're all upset and you're all anxious, you're not going to make peace. You're going to make the situation worse. You can't be a peacemaker when you have no peace. And so you pray. That situation or those people that you want to make peace with, let me tell you where it has to start. On your knees, you pray until you already have a peace before you even talk. Jesus gives us his peace. He says, my peace I give unto you. It's not like the world gives us, and it's not dependent on circumstance. We get our peace from Jesus. And, you know, so many people, they think they can't have peace because of this person or what this happened and they did this. No, you need to go back to Jesus because he can give you the peace that you need. We pray, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Peace. You get peace, and then you walk into that situation, you know, when that God has already taken care of it, and guess what? You can be the peacemaker. He wants us to be blessed. What a blessing to be called his child. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Peacemakers are known as his children. Remember, Paul said that when we're in strife, we're carnal. And I want you to hear me right now. Even the world, the secular world, will recognize you as a spiritual person if you are a peacemaker. You don't get in strife. You don't argue and fight with people, but you're a peacemaker. Even the world will recognize you as a spiritual person. What a blessing to be the sons and daughters of God. Father, I just thank you for this privilege, this honor to be called your son. I thank you, Father, for your hand upon us. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to apply the principles of your word in our life. Lord, that truly we might be peacemakers in this world and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, stand. Lord, bless you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer tonight, we'd be glad to pray with you.